It's Wednesday, it's 9 a.m., and it's time to have a conversation. I'm thrilled to be your host today. My name's Graham, and as Joanne mentioned, this is our live and local call-in show. We've got three phone lines, and we've got ears eager to hear what you think. The phone number to call, if you are so inclined, is 503-325-0010. And the topic of the day, I didn't want to do a pandemic check-in per se. I wanted to do more of a mental health check-in. I have sort of a belief that every day is mental health day for everyone, and that if you're not taking good care of your mental health, then, I just think it's a priority, that's all. Everyone deserves a good and happy and safe life, and I think that our entire lives present an opportunity to grow and to improve and to learn, to become better people, both with what we put out into the world and with what we, how we react to external factors that come into our world. So there you have it. I thought maybe we could try to work the icebreaker into the topic today. And so the concept I came up with was, what is something about your mental or emotional state that you think could use a little bit of work? Is there something that happens in the workplace that you feel like you could do better at? Is there something in a relationship or with your family? 503-325-0010, how would you like to improve your mental health? I'll go first. I've discovered a couple patterns about myself in the recent past, some of my perhaps less appealing personality traits. Maybe I'll start with an easy one, which is I am always looking for a way that something can be different or better or improved. And I think that kind of takes me out of the opportunity to just enjoy things as they are. And so maybe I can try to look at the world with a little bit less of a critical eye and not seeing it for its faults or for its shortcomings or for the ways that something could be better, but I can just enjoy it for what it is. So that's one of the things that I'm working on. How about you? What would you say is something that you would like to work on yourself as part of an effort to improve your mental health? Sort of a therapeutic type of a conversation today. Do any of you go to therapy? Do you have a therapist or do you have a counselor? Have you been doing any online counseling in the past year or more? Has it worked? What about this? Is there something that's holding you back from trying therapy or counseling? Well, I'm happy to welcome our first caller. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi there, Graham.
Good morning.
This is Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
I do gratitudes, lot of things for my stuff.
So you work on focusing on gratitude?
Yes. And I wanted to do this because the environment is great. And I wanted to do that. I live in a beautiful place, and I'm really grateful for everything I have.
Well, I love the concept of gratitude. So you love
you
love the place?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Well, how about you? We heard from Pamela. And just to give everybody the heads up, we are operating on a short delay. So if you're listening on your radio, once you call in, you're going to want to switch over to just listening on the phone. Otherwise, you'll be 6 seconds behind. And that's just in case you use a swear word, which is illegal. And I can I can erase it. I've got 6 seconds to push the button. No swearing, though. Let's keep it clean. 503-325-0010. excuse me, how do you pursue your own mental health? One of the modalities of therapy that I've been looking into is called cognitive behavioral therapy. So maybe I'll do a little bit of a description of that while we're waiting for the next caller to tell us about some of their mental health practices. I found cognitive behavioral therapy interesting because it seems very practical and it sounds like it's sort of one of the bread and butter approaches in psychology today. So here's a description from the website for the American Psychological Association. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a form of psychological treatment that has been demonstrated to be effective for a range of problems, including depression, anxiety, alcohol and drug use, marital problems, eating disorders, and severe mental illness. Research shows that it can lead to a significant improvement in functioning and quality of life, and it's demonstrated to be as effective as, or more effective than, other forms of psychological therapy or psychiatric medications. The advances in CBT have been made on the basis of research and clinical practice, and there does appear to be ample scientific evidence that the methods that have been developed actually produce change. So I like the sound of that so far. CBT is based on several core principles, including psychological problems are based in part on faulty or unhelpful ways of thinking. Psychological problems are based in part on learned patterns of unhelpful behavior. People suffering from psychological problems can learn better ways of coping with them and relieve their symptoms and become more effective in their lives. So, cognitive behavioral therapy treatment usually involves efforts to change thinking patterns. So this is kind of getting to my icebreaker question of, is there a pattern? Is there a thought pattern that you have that you think doesn't serve you? And you can benefit from letting it go. I'm curious about this. I hope you're not too shy and that you're willing to open up to us. Three open phone lines and all this mask wearing, I lose my voice quickly, so I desperately hope I don't have to do all the talking this morning. That's you. 503-325-0010. Learning to recognize one's distortions in thinking that are creating problems, and then to reevaluate them in light of reality, gaining a better understanding of the behavior and motivation of others, using problem-solving skills to cope with difficult situations, and learning to develop a greater sense of confidence in one's own abilities. We've got a caller. We'll get to you in just a sec. Cognitive behavioral therapy treatment also usually involves efforts to change behavioral patterns. So these strategies might include facing one's fears instead of avoiding them, using role-playing to prepare for potentially problematic interactions with others, and learning to calm one's mind and relax one's body. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Well, for my mental health, I have been put myself on an adaptogen herb called Rodalia, which helps calm your brain down with all the things that's been going on politically and in with the COVID and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a saying out there that thoughts in mind repeat in kind. So if you start thinking negative thoughts and you keep on that track, that's all your brain's going to keep feeding you is negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And what Pamela was talking about is called attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to embrace positive things because my whole life is turned upside down. And my problem is trying to figure out how to meet new people when your whole life situation has changed.
Yeah, and there aren't the normal interpersonal activities and things, too.
And it gets harder as you become older. And so that's been my problem with all the shutdown is trying to find a way of getting out and meeting new people.
Well, there is a question that we can pose to the wider listening community.
Mm-hmm.
What are ways that you have found new friends or engaged in new activities? I think to speak to Pamela's point about the environment, that would be one of the first places I would check is, you know, becoming a volunteer for the Willapa Wildlife Refuge or
now
you know, doing
things
some of those
are opening up because
right.
But what had happened is everything was shut down, and the things you would want to turn to do. I mean, they even had us restricted from going outside just about. So,
yeah, and we've all learned that Zoom just doesn't cut it, right?
Well, I'm not on the Internet. Oh. I do not like the corporate government leash, and I will not do it. I don't like the tracking involved with it.
Yeah, I understand that for sure.
It's gotten so much worse. I wish people realized.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm glad you called in. Are there any other thoughts you had for us today?
No, that's it.
All right. You have a good day.
Uh-huh.
So as we go deeper into this concept of cognitive behavioral therapy, usually referred to as CBT, it's based on this idea that how you think determines how you feel, and how you feel determines how you behave. So thoughts lead to emotions, and emotions lead to behaviors. When something happens, and it could be anything, you're going to have thoughts about what just occurred. You're going to then experience emotions based on those thoughts, and then you respond to your thoughts and feelings with behaviors. So let's do an example. Here's the situation. A stranger scowls at you when they pass you on the street. And you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I must have done something wrong. I'm so awkward. I become embarrassed, and I get upset with myself. And then I apologize to the stranger, and I replay that situation over and over in my head, trying to understand what I did wrong. So that's not necessarily the most rational response. The stranger could have been scowling for any number of reasons. It's possible the stranger just got dumped, or maybe they scowl at everyone. Who knows? So as humans, we all have irrational thoughts like these. And unfortunately, irrational or not, these thoughts still affect how we feel and how we behave. So consider how I might have responded to the same situation if I had a different thought. I could have said, yeah, what a jerk. And that emotion would have been anger, and that behavior, maybe I would have shouted, what's your problem? Or my thought could have been, he must be having a bad day. My emotions would stay neutral, and I would walk away and forget the incident. So the goal is to identify your patterns of thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, and then you'll start to understand how thoughts shape your feelings and impact your life. We've had a couple calls come in. Good morning. You are the first caller, and you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Anna.
Hi, Anna.
And I've dealt with the cognitive behavior therapy for a few years here, trying to change some of the thoughts I had that were kind of framed when I was young.
Right. It all goes back to your core beliefs about yourself, right?
Correct. And
I didn't mean to talk over you, but you said this was from your parents, right?
Right, from when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Messages that I received that I just believed were true. And the main one for me is that I was a mistake and should not have been born.
That is no way to help your child grow up.
That's a very difficult one.
Yeah, that's
and
a tough
one. What it's made me as a grandparent realize is that children do internalize some of those things that we say or that they hear. And so as a grandparent, it's important to me to touch base with my grandchildren who are 11 and 12 and just check in with them and see. You can kind of see in a kid when they kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them what they're thinking and kind of question whether that's true or not and have them talk with you about what they're thinking or what they're feeling and realize that they don't have to assume that an adult knows more about them than they do.
Hmm.
Hello?
I'm trying to think of what my follow-up question for you is.
I guess it's more of a statement
yeah.
That we as adults, when we're healing, it's important for us to check in with our children and to give them maybe a toolkit of things that they can use to verify what they're thinking.
I think one of my first responses was going to be the example I gave of a stranger scowling is so much different than your own parent telling you that you're not wanted or that you're an accident. And so just what a different level of example that represents, and how much more challenging that would be to brush that one off, because this is your parent. You know, there's no one who is supposed to love you more.
Exactly.
So that's just devastating. Yeah, and that's... Boy,
it's been a big one to overcome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you work on it, and you realize that parent had some, you know, as an adult, I can do this, had some difficulties in their life that, you know, were difficult for them to handle.
Absolutely.
And I don't have to take that as truth.
Well, that certainly is a good example of what I was talking about. You said that was kind of your biggest example, and so I want to pose that question again to the folks listening and give them the opportunity to call. Is, you know, what would be something that really stuck with you that someone said that was hurtful that could still be guiding your core beliefs about yourself, not without you even necessarily knowing it? Because that's the problem, is that a lot of this becomes subconscious if it's something that you were told when you were 4 or 5 or 6.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
there's lots of good places for us in the local community to go to for assistance. I'm from Long Beach and listen to KMUN all the time. And we've got a group that's called Peace of Mind Pacific County. And they're a wonderful resource for people to be able to get some assistance with their mental health.
Yeah, I think that was kind of one of my questions today, is are there any barriers to people getting help when they need it? Because obviously healthcare is expensive, counseling is extremely expensive. And so, you know, doesn't it seem like a fundamental right that everyone would be able to have access to the tools that they need? So Peace of Mind Pacific County, that's a good one. Take a note.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying your experience with cognitive behavioral therapy is that you've engaged in it for your own work. You're not a counselor yourself, right?
No, I am not. I have. It's been all personal work that I've done through healthcare. And so it has to be paid for, of course.
Right.
There are apps on that you can get for your phone or your iPad or whatever that assist as well, and one of them is a CBTM app that, you know, gives you information that you can read through and daily reminders that are very helpful.
Yeah, one of the things that I like about cognitive behavioral therapy is that it's based on the idea that that your brain can learn new tricks, and that it's trainable and it's malleable.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are certain aspects of the brain that make it harder to learn things the older you get, but this is one of the things that you can always change.
That's right.
You don't have to still be in your teenage years or anything like that, like learning a new language. Not that that's impossible for adults, but
there are things that we oncologize here. There are things that trigger for us, and I think recognizing what triggers those thoughts in our head can be very valuable. And I find personally that the reaction time is getting less and less, whether it's thoughts or feelings. The healing comes, but it can come kind of slowly.
Tell me your first name again.
Anna.
Anna, I'd like to try an experiment. Are you willing to stay on the line while I bring another caller on?
I can try. I'm in the mountains driving.
Okay. Well, we've had another caller who's been patient, but I'm not quite ready to let you go, so hang on the line if you can.
Okay,
you've been waiting patiently. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, that's you.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know if I was the one on the line.
Yes.
Yes, I would just like to say that I have been blessed to be able to afford to have had therapy for half my life. And one of my main motivations for doing so was when my first child was born, I realized that I had a lot of burdens from my childhood, and they were being activated by mm-hmm. the stage that my child was in. And it was extremely helpful in my parenting to have had access to cognitive behavioral therapy through all their childhood. And but more recently, I've been engaged in group therapy, and that's a completely different and very valuable way of seeing the commonality of your reactions and also being able to proceed with your own work through the work of others. It's very, very valuable. And so that has been something very helpful to me.
Are you willing to go into detail about like an example of one of those things that came up from your childhood while raising your children?
Well, I was one of eight, and I was a middle child of eight, and just the everyday things that happen when you're a child that you didn't think affected you, but having a parent yell at you at a certain time, having a parent be angry with you for certain things that you just thought, well, you know, that's part of growing up, but you don't want to carry that through to your own children. And so those sorts of things were those burdens that I carried that I felt worthless in certain areas of my life because my parents didn't value those things or got angry at me for doing those things. Just those sorts of things that you want to set a reset button when you're doing it with your own children.
Absolutely.
I mean, I heard myself saying things to my children that my mother said to me that I thought, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And,
the deep programming.
So, what was that?
The deep programming.
Yes.
The stuff that you don't even know is there.
Exactly. And, you go through your life thinking that, well, the way I grew up was really normal. And then you find out, well, no, a lot of people didn't go through that sort of thing, and you don't need to carry that forward to the next generation. So that I think, is a wonderful reason for counseling. And I know that I was a better parent having had that opportunity. One thing that you asked originally was, what is one thing that you would like to change? Mm-hmm. And my thing is that I take on a lot of burdens through social media and listening to the news.
Right.
And I think that what I feed my brain, I would love to change what I'm feeding my brain, that's, I think, one thing for mental health. And then the other thing I would just like to say before I hang up is that, during COVID, I felt like, the world had really become small. And since vaccinations have been happening, I've had the opportunity to resume volunteering. And to me, that's a huge part of my mental health.
That's great. One of the things that you said made me think of that question of, is there something that's been a barrier for you getting therapy? And I wonder how many people think that their life is good enough that they don't deserve therapy, or that,
Yeah, I mean, I was totally functional. No, I mean, people probably wouldn't have thought that I assume that there are people in my life that wouldn't say, well, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
But no, everybody could benefit from looking at the messages that they have received, and also that thing that you said about the brain being malleable. It is incredibly malleable. Even if I'm 68 years old, I know that my brain can change and I can learn new patterns. So,
well, and
the
extent to which the social media stuff and the news stuff is shaping your brain without you really intending it to.
Yes.
So the CBT thing takes some real effort to sort of set these new patterns and these new stencils into your brain. Well, my experiment will not be complete unless you say hi to Anna on the other line.
Hello, Anna.
Oh, we must have lost her. She said she was in the mountains. But yeah, I'm trying to see how much we can make this a real conversation with more than just two people. So we've got two phone lines that we can have on the air at once, and there's no reason that we can't all talk to each other. So I just thought that'd be fun to try. But I sure appreciate your call today.
Kind of like group therapy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's actually, before I let you go, give me an example of what group therapy is like.
Well, group therapy is... It is a way for you to see how you affect other people, and without you realizing it, the way you say things, the way you hold yourself, people interpret it certain ways. And when you are in a group where people can give you feedback and you can hear about other people's struggles or joys, I mean, it's not all, we don't all talk about bad things. Mm-hmm. We support each other through good and bad. But you can see how you fit into a group. And I'm an extremely introverted person, so for me to be able to do that is just a wonderful experience. And people are so open with the deepest parts of themselves, and you don't get to see that very often.
Well, that's cool. Maybe we'll try a little group therapy around the station one of these days. But
you know,
I do think
to have a moderator.
Yeah, it's not going to be me. I'll tell you that much. Well, great. I sure appreciate your call this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day. If you're just joining us, it's The Conversation on KMUN. It's a live local call-in show, and we're hearing from members of the community about mental health and about modalities of therapy. With a particular focus on the one known as cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a form of psychological treatment that looks at how your thoughts shape your emotions and how your emotions shape your behaviors. And we've got another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Graham.
Hello to you.
Hi. Interesting topic.
Glad you're enjoying it.
I'm a fervent listener. I love your programs.
Great.
Yeah, it's I think I've called you before. Immiserate Loves Company, kind of a theme. You see it pretty much everywhere. People are unhappy. They want to share it, and then it's like glue. It'll affect you. And I love some of your past callers' comments about it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning, and you know you just. Talk to yourself internally about having a good day, and you know what I mean. You face your challenges. I think you're far ahead of the game than you would be when your feet hit the side of your bed and you're going, oh, crap. You still there?
Yep. I'm curious if if you've got an answer to that question of, is there one pattern that you notice in yourself that you could benefit from changing or altering? Or
Judgmental. Being judgmental, because maybe I disagree with them. I'm an old guy now. But I'm a local kid. I grew up around here.
Mm-hmm.
I would think my judgment, but I always took pride in not pointing the finger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to find out, you know, reasoning is the key to pretty much to what's going on in my world. And but I am very quick at it. Yeah. It just comes out of nowhere. Like the old guy goes, you know, get off my lawn, you know.
Yeah.
And all his life, he was a great, you know, he didn't care about kids playing. But all of a sudden, he just this attitude kind of creeps on the old guy, and then he starts acting like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would be the judgmental. And then I'd like to listen more, too. I'm kind of a gabby guy, and I should really zip my lip sometimes and just hear what it is, what's going on.
Well, as always, I appreciate your call, and
I'm just going to leave you with one real quick sense of humor here.
Please do.
It's a serious topic, yeah, but I'm going to put a little light on it. I always figure a little sip of bourbon and ginger ale over the rocks kind of brings clarity.
You know, there's all sorts of medicine in the world.
So, yeah. It's you know, I believe our culture has set us up in life that life's going to be easy. You're on easy street. Things are going to come your way, but they don't give you the tools and the information and the knowledge to accomplish that. And so people get really kind of, you know, upset with their lives because, you know, there's so much to complain about.
Yeah, when you learning about cognitive behavioral therapy over the last couple of weeks, you know, my first thought is, why isn't this just kind of discussed from the very beginning throughout your school?
Oh, it simply should be. Oh, elementary K through 9 at least. I mean,
yeah.
Their minds are like little sponges. They will dig it, all the information, and guess what it does, Graham? It helps them.
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate goal, you know. Like I said, you know, we have to make up our own minds and our own decisions, and collectively it's fun to meet people that you ever really, somebody looks at you in the eyes and smiles. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And we'll try it. Take a walk and see how many people do that. It's disappearing. And my poor mother, she always said common sense must have went out the window. And, we certainly live in different times, but it's all there for us. We just haven't found the key.
It's hard to be the first one to smile.
Why? Not me.
And we definitely don't take
I'm not that way. Yeah, no. What, are you going to be embarrassed? Or are you going to be? Or it's like standing in the line, grocery line with toilet tissue. And some people try to hide that toilet tissue because they're embarrassed that they have to wipe. I'm going, oh, my God, you should be embarrassed if you don't wipe. You know what I mean? So it's all perspective, and it's all just keep cool, calm, and collective. My God, throughout history of the world, there's so many challenges. We'll never, ever get over them because they're created daily. And we just meander. We're like a little sailboat, you know, sailing, and we're having a good time, man.
Well, if you see me in the street, give me a smile, and I'll return it. That's for sure.
I certainly will. Thanks, Graham.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
I believe I saw Susanna's name on the caller ID. Good morning, Susanna.
Hello. Good morning. Oh, clear the frog out of my throat.
I've got one of those, too.
And I've been, every caller makes my mind go round and round. I've done a lot of therapy in my life, and I've read a lot of books. And if you can't go to therapy, reading books can really be helpful. I do strongly believe that to do real healing, you have to do it on an emotional level. And sometimes reading books just puts you in the thinking mode,
mm-hmm.
which it doesn't do deep healing at like when you go into an emotional mode where you're kind of emotionally resonating and then shifting your energy and doing things that can heal you. And I don't really, I'm not ready to talk about that this morning, but one book that I have laid out to read again, which I think you do really well about listening, is How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and How to Listen So Kids Will Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish she had written it for adults, too, because it's a wonderful book. And she has it laid out in dialogue, in cartoons, in just linear writing, so that people who can absorb on different levels can take it in, even if you don't have, you know, so many books are too densely written for people that are not used to books. And so I appreciated that on her writing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I struggle with, and the pandemic hasn't helped, because I'm alone a lot, which I have beautiful places, and I'm used to being alone, is talking too much when I do get talking. And I wonder if all of us, when we get out of isolation, are going to do that more. And so that listening, that's why I'm thinking about the book on listening.
Well, that sounds like a good suggestion. And
and just one thing about depression, I feel like I can steer around it as I've gotten older. I was very conscious when I was young to control it. And I still do it. If I start going into depressive thoughts, it's just to get a grip and to stop it and just deliberately go in another direction. And I heard a person struggling with depression saying he got through it and has changed his life by doing that. when you go into a depressive mental loop, you just stop it. And with discipline, you can, I think a lot of people, it can really help.
Yeah, that sounds like sort of one of those identifying the patterns parts of
it. Well, thank you for bringing this up. I can keep talking if you don't have somebody else on the line, if you have any other questions.
Well, I've got a couple callers, but if the phones get slow again, give me a ring back.
All righty.
Thanks, Susanna. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next caller. Good morning.
Hey, Graham. It's Mary Lou.
Hey, Mary Lou.
I just wanted to make this kind of quick. The Oregon Humanities Commission every year sponsors a project called Dear Stranger. You'd have to go to the Oregon Humanities and look it up. But what they do is it's a project where they get correspondence between two strangers going, you know, they have their own system and their own privacy. So that was coming up about the time that we went into lockdown last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that. I thought, well, that's a good idea. Maybe I should write to a stranger. And then I thought, maybe I should write to all the strangers and myself that I'm discovering.
Mm.
And I think it's a really good exercise because I found that I was sulking, I was sad, I was, you know, I mean, all these different parts of myself that were really, I think that was kind of the gift for me of the isolation. It's a gift, we have to unwrap them all.
Yeah.
So if people are interested in writing to what they're discovering within themselves, I process everything much better through writing. And it's a good idea to just write to the stranger that is trying to get known.
Yeah, that's a beautiful idea, Mary Lou. I love it.
It's a very cool project. Look up Oregon Humanities. Okay, well, thanks for this program.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Before we bring on our next caller, I want to remind you that the number is 503-325-0010. We're having a very interesting and engaging discussion today about mental health and methods of therapy, and especially cognitive behavioral therapy. If you have experiences with a counselor or a therapist, or you are one, we'd love to hear from you. The last caller, Susanna, before Mary Lou, mentioned emotional responses to things, and I found that interesting. You know, I think there's no rights or wrongs here, but in cognitive behavioral therapy, it's your thoughts feed your emotions, feed your actions. And I think I kind of felt before learning about this that the emotion is the first response and that maybe like thoughts don't even really happen when you get that pit in your stomach or you feel like you've been punched in the gut. Is that the first response? Is that the emotional response? And does that come first or was there a thought? And so after this next caller, we'll get into this concept of what your core beliefs are about yourself and how that affects what your emotional and thought responses are. But until then, phone patch 2, we've got another caller. Good morning. Oh, looks like we just lost you. Please do call back. But in the meantime, we'll get right to that core belief component. So let's see. What are your core beliefs? This is maybe the stranger or several of the strangers inside of you that are hiding, or this is the input that you had as a child that you maybe don't keep in the conscious part of your mind, but it's still there determining how you respond to things. Like the one caller said, when you get triggered, I think that's such a good word to use for those unhealthy mental or emotional responses to input. So core beliefs are a person's most central ideas about themselves, others, and the world. These beliefs act like a lens through which every situation and life experience is seen. Because of this, people with different core beliefs might be in the same situation, but think, feel, and behave very differently. Even if a core belief is inaccurate, it still shapes how a person sees the world. Harmful core beliefs lead to negative thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, whereas rational core beliefs lead to balanced reactions. So I'm going for that second one, looking to change my core beliefs to rational ones so that I can have balanced reactions.
Core beliefs to rational ones.
Okay, we've got another caller, and we're on a delay, so you'll want to turn your radio down, and we're ready for you. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to mention, I love you're doing this program because I really believe in this method, and I wanted to mention David Byrne's work.
The musician?
Good, and pardon me?
The musician, David Byrne?
No, the psychologist.
Okay.
He's a psychologist emeritus at Stanford now.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote Feeling Good. And lately he's put out a new book, Feeling Great. And he has all sorts of methods in there to work through whatever kinds of thought patterns you're having. Feeling Good came out, I think, maybe in the 70s, and I remember the first time I read it and getting the idea of our thoughts generate our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped me a lot. And another thing I wanted to mention was that, also on David Byrne's, he has a lot of free podcasts on his website. I also wanted to mention that sometimes when I'm encountering a thought about myself that I don't like, I'll develop a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very helpful, just saying it over and over again.
Is yours in English or Sanskrit?
English. Oh, just something like, when I was having money problems at one time and I'd quit one job and I hadn't gotten another one, I had a mantra that I'm a money magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped calm my feelings about money. And also, I slipped into a really nice opportunity to for a new job.
So it was true. You are a money magnet.
I am a money magnet.
And positive affirmations work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, this reminds me of something that I thought about where the only real difference between regular life and magic is just the passage of time. You know, because if you want something, a magician would make it appear, but we just have to work and wait, and then it appears. But there isn't really a huge mm-hmm. difference there. I really do believe that this life is a magical, wonderful place. And it's
I do too.
Not always easy to maintain optimism or positivity, and there are, you know, devastatingly dark and horrible things that happen in this life. But that's why we have to work that much harder to embrace positive things and use mantra and positive affirmations and some of these techniques that we're talking about here today.
Yes.
So I encourage everyone to go to David Byrne's website. It is spelled the same as the musician, davidbyrne.com, I believe.
Uh-huh. And check out, I'm sure you can get used copies of Feeling Good, maybe not his new one, Feeling Great. But in the Feeling Great one, he worked with a neuropsychologist, I think a neuropsychologist, and I don't remember his name. And he wrote a chapter in there about how they've been able to document through neuropsychology how cognitive behavior works.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually seen it change patterns in the brain. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's part of the magical, wondrous life we're in is just how this brain of ours works. It's really pretty extraordinary, and if you don't maintain it and take good care of it, you're going to find yourself with these patterns. But if you work hard, you can clean it up and change it for the better.
Right, and I would even say that it's not hard work, it's fun work.
Well, especially because the outcome is so great.
Yeah.
Well, anything else for us today?
No, that's it.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you for the program.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. 503-325-0010. 15 minutes left in the program. Thanks to everyone who's called in so far. This is The Conversation. And look forward to hearing from you as well. We love first-time callers. Maybe today's the day you're brave. We'll see. You don't have to be brave. You've picked up a phone and dialed a number before. So let's get back to core beliefs. So here's two examples of a positive and a negative core belief. Person A says, as their core belief, I am a failure. And the reaction would be, of course I failed. Why do I bother? My feeling would be depressed, and my behavior would be to make no changes. And then we look at person B with a core belief of, I am perfectly capable when I give my best effort. And so that leads to thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of, I did poorly because I didn't prepare. I feel disappointed, and my behavior is I plan to study more before the next test. So let's talk about the four categories of the most common harmful core beliefs. And maybe you're going to identify one of these in you. These can show up in any combination as well. The categories are helpless, unlovable, worthless, or external danger. So examples of helplessness would be, I'm weak, I'm a loser, I'm trapped. Examples of unlovable would be, I will end up alone, no one likes me, I'm unlovable. Examples of worthlessness, I'm bad, I don't deserve to live, I am worthless. An external danger, the world is dangerous, people can't be trusted, and nothing ever goes right. So here are the consequences of harmful core beliefs. Interpersonally, you may be more distrustful of others. You may feel inadequate in relationships. You may suffer from excessive jealousy. You may be overly confrontational or aggressive. And you may put others' needs above one's own needs. And some mental health problems that could occur from a harmful core belief would be depression, anxiety, substance abuse, difficulty handling stress, and low self-esteem. And finally, some facts about core beliefs. People are not born with core beliefs, they are learned. So this is a nurture one, not a nature one. Core beliefs usually develop in childhood or during stressful or traumatic periods in adulthood. Information that contradicts core beliefs is often ignored. Negative core beliefs are not necessarily true, even if they feel true. And core beliefs tend to be rigid and long-standing. However, they can be changed. So that led me to some exploration about what my core beliefs are about myself and which of those four categories help define my thoughts and feelings and behaviors when I react to things. And I want to encourage you to do the same. It's been a tough year, and I think we could all use a little bit of support. Every day is Mental Health Day, and I hope that you all are taking as good a care of yourselves and each other as you can. The one person who mentioned smiling to others on the street is a great example. With the pandemic, it seemed like it could have been an opportunity for us to become almost aggressively kinder to each other, because we're behind these masks and because we have to be distant. You know, maybe that would have been an opportunity for our words to change and to become more extrovertly kind. And but I'm not sure that's happened. I don't know, hopefully a little bit. I remember when I was walking up the sidewalk and someone was walking down the sidewalk, and a couple blocks up they saw me coming, so they crossed the street just to give personal distance. And I hollered and waved and said, hey, thanks, which, you know, normally I wouldn't talk to people passing them on the sidewalk, or especially if they're on the other side of the street. But I thought that that was a good opportunity to say, I see what you did, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. We are getting towards the end of the show here, and we have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
So I'm calling back.
Oh, good.
And one takeaway from a book that I read was that if we have grown up in a childhood that has left us emotionally deprived and we really don't know a lot of positive stuff emotionally and how to believe in ourselves, is we need to learn a new emotional language. When people that have been abused really have to work on this, because it is a whole different language, and you end up, if without learning a new one, with another abuser who speaks your language of abuse. And so I found reading books with positive relationship models and watching movies, though sometimes it's difficult to find them, to really absorb what other people are doing emotionally that's positive. And it takes many, many years, like learning a language can, to do it. But it is definitely doable.
Well, and it helps if you listen to KMUN a lot.
Yes, yes. And I find, like, another woman who's having trouble with these difficult times with listening to TV, radio, or reading of all these stories of destruction and levels, that I just don't listen anymore. I have to really turn it off because it is pretty overwhelming sometimes.
Well, that is the beauty of public media. And I think people are, it's been interesting to see the response to our services and other public media stations around the country during the pandemic and during the last presidency as well. You know, I think people are appreciating more and more when information is good, and the intentions behind the media are coming from a good place, which that's why the public radio band exists. That's why the lower part of the dial on your radio is dedicated to educational media. And I think that was just a really smart thing that Congress did back in the day, and we're still reaping the benefits of that. And yeah, it's just kind of amazing that public radio is emerging stronger than ever, because I think 20 years ago, people thought radio was on the way out. But it's not. So that's very reassuring.
And your show is, I've noticed that your show, I think, has more and more callers. And as I said earlier, you're a good listener, Graham, and I think it's part of the success of your show. And thank you so much for it. Because I think more and more people are listening.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's kind of a challenging show for me, I'll be honest. And I do want to do more listening than talking, for sure. And so the real hard part is coming up with a topic where I can get a ball rolling, and then everyone else takes a turn kind of kicking it upfield. So I sure do appreciate everyone that listens and calls. And
yeah.
And yeah, if you haven't called in yet, I look forward to the day when you do.
Yes, it is wonderful hearing new voices. All right. Well, you have a good, I see a snitch of blue sky out there.
Good news.
I'm in Jewel. Any blue sky in Astoria?
Not from my window, but perhaps in another direction.
Mm-hmm. I think it's coming today.
All right. Thanks, Susanna.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Just a few minutes left in the show, plenty of time to take another couple of calls, but we'll start getting into wrap-up mode. The concept today is that we all have core beliefs about ourselves that we weren't born with. I've heard a sort of a general estimate that 95% of people have negative core beliefs, which is... why it seems so silly to me that we don't hear about cognitive behavioral therapy more, either in our education system or in media. These are not ideas that should be withheld. These are not tools that should be available only to the people that can afford them. So once again, one of the benefits of public radio, am I right? Good morning. We've got another caller. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, Graham, this is Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Graham, you're doing a heck of a job, and it's nice to hear your voice. It's got, This is the first time I tuned on to your show. You do a great job, and like you say, it's not the easiest thing to wake up in the morning. So just don't be hard on yourself. That's all I got to say.
Cheers to
that.
Take care,
Graham.
Thanks, Tommy.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, hearing Tommy's voice makes me think of the fact that there's a lot of voices that we haven't been hearing on KMUN in the last 14 months. But I am thrilled to say that you're going to start hearing more of your old friends on the radio again very soon. We have a committee that's working on a reopening plan that's going to be phasing programmers back into the studios. The plan is that everyone will be fully vaxxed. And we're going to continue to monitor all of the safety protocols and everything from CDC and State of Oregon and things to make sure that it's a safe reentry. But I think we're all just so excited to have many more of our regulars back on the air, like Tommy, who does a great blues show. Tommy used to bring in live guests pretty regularly, which is one of my favorite things to see and have happen here at the station, is to cram our little air room full of a bunch of acoustic guitars and upright basses and have people gather around mics and sing their hearts out. So that day is coming very soon. We're looking at early July. So the reopening committee continues to meet and develop the plan. And so nothing's set in stone, and things do seem to change regularly. But we'll keep you posted. But it does seem like we have a lot of reason to be optimistic about getting more of our voices back. Our homegrown radio program has featured people recording their shows at home, and it's just extraordinary what those folks have been able to accomplish in the last year to keep the station on the air. I think we have somewhere around 60 people that record at home. Some of those people already had recording equipment. Some people bought their own. Some people use a checkout system with a few kits that the station made available. Just so much dedication to this station and the services it provides, and it's great. I don't know if you heard the Confluence radio program yesterday, but that's a new one. I encourage you to find it on our podcast page of our website. But that's not all. In Season, Food Talk, Coast Range Radio, Around Our Schools is a great new show. So it's wonderful to see how we've grown and changed during a difficult time. And let's see, another update I can give you about the station is that the Cannon Beach Translator Project is going to be finished very soon. So if you live in Cannon Beach or Arch Cape area, and you've noticed that the signal from 89.5 has been weak or even non-existent at times, I'm happy to report that that should be coming on in just the next few couple months. The tower's being put up early June, and then we'll install the antennas, we'll install the equipment, and we'll flip the switch, and we'll let you know when it happens. But that's something to be really excited about. That project is a long time coming. A lot of hard work put into it from a lot of staff and volunteers and members of the community. I think Doug Sweet was the first one to lay the groundwork, and Joanne picked up where he left off, and then I got to pick up where Joanne left off. And we've had a great partnership with Rick Hudson, the emergency management director in Cannon Beach, and their public works department. And we have a really great relationship with the local ham radio club called Sunset Empire Amateur Radio Club. Really great group of people, very helpful. It's so nice to have collaborators all working towards the same goals, which is just taking care of each other. Emergency communications is a big one out here in our area. So thanks to Cirque, thanks to Cannon Beach, and thanks to you. And we look forward to turning on that new transmitter at 250 watts instead of the previous 10 watts. 25-time power increase. That's great. And it's going to be 89.3 instead of 89.5. So make a note of that. And like I said, we'll keep you posted. We're planning on sending a postcard out to everybody in Cannon Beach to let them know. Thanks again to everyone who called in today. It's great to hear your voices.